there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. It is so good to be back here with you. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Man, it is a beautiful day here in southern New Jersey, and I've just been enjoying the weather. Had a great weekend, and again, I hope you did too. It's good to be back with you on the program. We're going to talk about several things on the show today. We're going to look at one of the more popular Bible verses. We hear this all the time. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. What exactly does that mean? It's Philippians 4:13. St. Paul is saying that I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I believe that even though that verse is a fantastic message, I love it. I think it's something we all need to believe. It's absolutely true. We have to be careful that we don't read something into that verse that's not there. Can I really do all things? Well, I'll give you a little preview. We'll talk more about it, but not exactly. But don't let that fool you. It's a great verse, and it's got a great message. The other thing I want to talk to you about is miracles. How many miracles have you seen? And let's put it this way. Have you seen the fruit of your prayers? Do you see a lot of fruit when you pray? Or do you sometimes think, why am I not seeing God work in my life? And I've got good news for you. Here's what I believe. And you're going to see these readings today. I think sometimes in order to see miracles in life, to see God's influence, to see God's working in our lives, we got to put on our miracle goggles, because I think we're missing some things. And these readings today from Daily Mass, we'll try to get to at least the gospel. Maybe I'll be able to get to at least summarize the first reading. They remind us that sometimes we are looking for the spectacular. And no mistaking it, God does perform miracles, spectacular, extraordinary miracles, mind-blowing miracles. He still does. But we often don't see the spectacular. We see the ordinary miracles, but we don't recognize them as such. And I think we get ourselves into trouble by not recognizing the everyday miracles. So we're going to talk about all that on the program. Hope you can settle in. I need to take a sip of my water. I just got some nice cold water. That's my beverage du jour. I hope you have a nice beverage, a nice snack. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to try to tie it all in. We just passed the third Sunday of Lent. We're heading up to the fourth Sunday, which is Laetare Sunday. It's the Sunday where we rejoice, where we start, to, where we just take a little bit of a breather from the penance, from the suffering. You know, we could have a Lent. It's important in Lent that we recognize that we need to break free from some of the junk that holds us back. But we want to start looking at the finish line. And we'll be doing that beginning this Sunday, looking at the finish line and realizing that, man, we got something to rejoice about, because Jesus is going to rise from the dead. You know, and that's, Lent doesn't end, or Lenten preparations, it doesn't end on Good Friday. And a lot of times we think that it does, but it doesn't. There's an Easter Sunday waiting for us too. So we'll talk about all of that. It's all positive, all good stuff. But before we go any further, let's pray. Let's talk to Jesus today, okay? Let's remember that Jesus is with us. He's present with us right now. Look around. Do you see him? Exactly. You can't see him, but he's there. You have to see him with the eyes of faith. So you believe by faith that Jesus is with you. And you also, by faith, have to believe that when you pray, something will happen. He will do something, or it will help your relationship with him in some way. You might not see exactly the results you're looking for, but you're going to get something that you need. So let's turn to him now, please. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that you are present with us. Jesus, we recognize that you can do all things. You are completely in control of our lives, of the country, of the world, of the universe right now. Lord, you are filled with love for us. In fact, that's why you came into this world, to bring the love of the Father to his fallen children who were being held captive. So, Lord, we know you love us. We know you can do all things. We know you're with us right now. So I'm not really sure why I worry sometimes, why I tend to panic. I guess I forget about you. Help me to remember you, Lord. Send me a special outpouring. Send us a special outpouring of your Holy Spirit so that we can always recognize your presence among us. Please change us, Jesus, through your Spirit, especially during Lent. Change us so that we look more like you, so that we act more like you. Jesus, please accept our intentions this day. Please handle them. Help us with our problems. Draw us closer to you. Heal the sick. Help those who are hopeless. Give them hope, Lord. And Jesus, I ask you to give me the words for this program today. I don't want to hijack your message. Please let me know what I'm supposed to say. And Lord, please open our minds and our hearts so that we would be receptive to hearing your message this day. Jesus, I ask these things in your mighty name. And I thank you for hearing and answering us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, something happened right there. And you might not feel it. That's okay. Faith begins in the mind. And in our minds, through faith, we're able to believe that when we pray, number one, we are heard. And number two, something happens. And number three, if I add it, could add a number three. Number three, that the best thing possible happens at the best possible time. Which sometimes doesn't match up with what we want, right? That's why we get ourselves into trouble. But anyway, thank you for praying with me. It's great to be here with you. My name is Gary Zimek. The name of this program is Following the Truth. I come to you each Monday through Friday. Today's Monday. It's March the 8th, and I'm so glad to be starting the week off with you. I want to send you to my website because there's some cool things happening this week. Followingthetruth.com is my website. My latest book, Give Up Worry for Good, it's going to be released this week. So I recommend that if you want to get a copy of it, you pre-order it now. If you liked Give Up Worry for Lent, I know you're going to love this book because not only is it the follow-up, so it's Give Up Worry for Good, 8 Weeks to Hopeful Living and Lasting Peace. It's what you do after Lent. That's what this book was designed for. But it's also designed to be used in a small group format. So in response to a lot of questions that I got from people saying, can we use Give Up Worry for Lent in small groups? Of course you can, but I didn't write the book to be designed for small group exercises. This book I did. Now you can use it individually as well, but it has all that you need to take it to your parish or your church and start a Give Up Worry for Good series of small groups. So that's Give Up Worry for Good. You can pre-order it now. Just go to followingthetruth.com, and it's going to be shipping this week. So I am really excited about that. I'm so into the Give Up Worry for Lent thing, but I'm excited to have this be waiting in the wings. So check that out, followingthetruth.com. Okay, today's Give Up Worry for Lent verse, speaking of which, is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I think, as I said at the beginning, that's a great verse. It doesn't mean that you can do all things. I can't be a professional singer. I can't be an NFL football player. I don't have what it takes to be a doctor. You know, there are some things that I can't do. And you don't want to look at a verse like that and say you can do all things, no matter what. You can do all things that God wants you to do. And that's the key right there. A lot of times, or sometimes, I'm not really sure if it's a lot of times, but sometimes, we want to do things that God's not calling us to do. I want to do what God's calling somebody else to do. And if I'm not called to do that thing or whatever it is, then I'm probably not going to be very successful at it. Because God doesn't want me to be that person. God wants me to be me. And this is a really hard lesson to learn, especially when it involves suffering. Now, all last year, or most of last year, well, I guess all of last year, I started Lent normally, doing my talks around the country. Everything was going good. I had several more talks on the books. About halfway through Lent, COVID hit, and everything got shut down. Not only was I not able to travel to speak at my parishes and conferences, I wasn't even able to go to certain stores because they were shut down. And I wasn't able to go to church. I couldn't go to Mass anymore. Couldn't receive the Eucharist. Even on Easter, it was insane. I didn't like it. It's not what I wanted. But, you know, looking back on it, and just about a year ago, this was just about a year ago when all the craziness started. Looking back on it, the Lord got me through it. I could do it. And he used it for good. I was able to write several books. I was able to evangelize in my family, in the context of my family, my wife, my daughters. We were all home. We started to pray more. We got closer. We got closer to the Lord. And even though, had somebody told me, you're going to be doing this for a year or more, you know, this is still not ended. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's starting to look good, but it hasn't ended yet. Had somebody told me, you're going to be wearing a mask and really restricted for at least another year, I would have freaked out saying, there's no way I can do this. And this is what we need to remember. That's what this verse is all about. When you get the cancer diagnosis, when you get laid off from your job, when you have that devastating relationship, unexpected relationship problem, when a loved one dies suddenly, and you begin to spiral out of control thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, that verse kicks in. And you got that promise directly from God via the Holy Spirit, written by St. Paul. You can do all things in him who gives you strength. Jesus will hold your hand. He will send you his Spirit. You will get through it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let it happen. Somehow, it will benefit you and help you to get to heaven. That's why these storms arise in our lives. Because God is pure love. And God is all powerful. So if what he's allowing to happen in your life, even though it might be a tragedy, it might be very difficult, if he's allowing it to happen, because he's all powerful and all loving, it's an expression of his love. It's going to help you. But see, we're not God and we can't understand that. Because if it was not good for you, and we're talking about eternally, it's not good for your eternal salvation. If it was not good for your eternal salvation or to help you to get to heaven, he would not let it happen. If he lets something happen in your life, there's a good reason for it. Now, you don't have to benefit from it. You can reject it. You can't necessarily make it go away, but you could say, I'm just not dealing with this. I'm not going to see the good in this. I'm not going to carry my cross. And then you're not going to reap the benefit. But if you do, if you go in with an open mind, if you're willing to go along, and you know what? I'm just getting this inspiration now because this ties into the gospel today. If you're willing to see the miracle in the mess, right? Then God will use it for your good. But you got to do some digging. Sometimes what you're looking at doesn't look too nice. In our previous house, we had these dingy rugs in the living room, and they really needed to be replaced. And when we ripped them up, they were messy. They had stains on them. They were really ugly. When we ripped them up, there were beautiful hardwood floors underneath them. We didn't know that until we ripped up the junky carpets. We had to go digging to see the beauty. You see what I'm saying? We have to be open and look for the good that God is trying to do in our lives. And then we cling to that promise. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. With Christ by my side, I can get through this, whatever this is. That's what that verse means. It is a killer verse. It's so powerful. I love it. Let's look at this gospel from today's Mass. This is from Daily Mass. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 24 through 30. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place." In other words, so he's talking to his hometown people, and he's saying, look, it doesn't surprise me that you guys don't accept me. You're my neighbors. You don't take me seriously. "Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill, which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away." Now, you and me, sometimes we get a little dejected when people don't want to hear our comments about the faith, right? We're talking about Jesus. "Oh, don't give me that Jesus stuff. I don't believe in him." Well, look at what happened to Jesus. His people didn't reject, it didn't accept him either. And it gets hard. Sometimes the hardest audience you will ever face when you go to evangelize are the people who live under the same roof as you. You know what I'm saying? It's hard because your family, your friends, your coworkers, your fellow students, the people who know you, your neighbors, they look at you and they think, "Well, he's nothing special. Who's he to tell me about Jesus?" But yet every one of us who is a Christian, who encounters Jesus in our lives, we are called to share him with others. That's what we're supposed to do. Of course I can share Jesus with somebody if I know him. Why couldn't I? You'll listen to me if I tell you about a restaurant, or if I tell you about a good store or a good movie, but I can't talk about Jesus. Of course you can talk about Jesus, but just don't be surprised when you get a little resistance. Now, that doesn't mean you have to keep pushing until you annoy people. If you start getting too much pushback, sometimes it is good to back off until a better time. The time might not be right. They might not be ready to hear what you have to say. But that's where you have to depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And let's flip it around now and say, is there someone who you should be listening to, who Jesus might be working through? They might not necessarily be an eloquent prophet, but should you be more open to listening to somebody in your own household, maybe somebody at church, somebody at the office who tells you, "You know, Gary, you're a bit of a hothead. You're a little judgmental. You know, don't you love when people tell you that kind of stuff? Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Who are you to tell me that?" That's how I get. I mean, I don't want to tell you that, but there are times that my wife has to tell me the truth. And I get annoyed because I don't want to hear the truth, especially if it's not nice. And a lot of times we lie to ourselves. So are you open to letting the Holy Spirit work through other people to tell you the truth? It's one of the Holy Spirit's jobs. One of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to awaken us to the sins that we're committing, to the things that we have to change in our lives. Are we open to it? Are we looking? These people, the people of Nazareth, they didn't want to hear Jesus. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to accept that he was the Son of God. They weren't open. So I think one of the greatest things we can do during Lent is work on being open to the working of the Spirit. And the Spirit sometimes works in some funky ways. The Spirit sometimes will approach you or send you a message through unlikely people. Not always, but just be open to it, okay? Don't disregard what somebody says just because you don't value them highly as a messenger. Again, you got to pray about these things, but if enough people are telling you something, maybe it's time to realize that it might be true. So I'm not going to have time to read this whole first reading, but Jesus referred to this in the gospel. It has to do with Naaman, the army commander of the king of Aram. He had brought victory to his country, but he was a leper, so he was in bad shape, and he ended up seeking relief for his leprosy from the prophet Elisha. Elisha was the successor to Elijah, the prophet. And the prophet sent Naaman this message: "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will heal, and you will be clean." So it's pretty simple, straightforward. Cure for leprosy, the prophet. And then the prophet represents God. The prophet speaks on behalf of God. That's their function. Naaman was angry, though. He went away angry, saying, "I thought that he would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God, and he would move his hand over the spot and thus cure the leprosy." See what he was looking for? He was looking for the magical, outstanding miracle, the smoke and mirrors, the beautiful miracle that, poof, just like that, he was going to be cured. But he gave him something ordinary to do. God was speaking through Elisha, telling Naaman to go wash in the Jordan. And then Naaman goes on to say, "Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Pharfar, better than the waters, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed?" With this, he turned about in anger and left. He didn't do what the prophet told him to do to be healed. Why? Because he thought the prophet didn't know what he was talking about. He was looking for the supernatural, jaw-dropping miracle. And he wasn't going to accept anything less. But his servants came up and reasoned with him. They said, "If the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? All the more now, since he said to you, 'Wash and be clean,' should you do as he said?" So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times. I bet all the way he was saying, "This is stupid. I'm going to do it, but I know this isn't going to work." Can you just hear it now? Have you ever done something like that? I know I have. "This is dumb. This will never work." So he plunged in the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. And guess what? His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now what happened? He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. He stood before him and he said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." In other words, wow, it worked. But he didn't want to try it because it wasn't extraordinary enough. And that's what I say to you. Don't stop praying. If you need a miracle, don't stop praying. If you need some change in your life, don't give up. Even if it appears that God is not working in a big way in your life, we don't know. We underestimate God's ability to work in the ordinary. And I think so many times we have miracles occurring in our lives, but they're little miracles. They're baby miracles. They're ordinary miracles. They're not extraordinary miracles. And we miss them. We write it off as luck, good circumstances, whatever you want to call it, but we don't give the glory to God. Start giving the glory to God. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. Ask him to open up your eyes so you can really see God working in your life. And I think if you do that, if you go in with the right attitude, don't be closed-minded. Naaman was closed-minded. The people of Nazareth, closed-minded. They didn't want to see anything. But if you go in with the right attitude, you'll begin to see God work in other people. People that you ordinarily might discount. "Oh, he's just a neighbor. What does he know?" I'll tell you what, I've gotten some pretty amazing prophecy coming from neighbors in my past. Words of wisdom that I would never expect to come from them. But they were just what I needed to hear. You know, so just pray that you can be open to God's working in your life, even if it's not as extraordinary as you would like. Alrighty? Hey, we're just about at the end of the show. This was fun, wasn't it? It was a good show. If I must say so myself. I had fun, though. I could feel the Spirit working through me today. That's why I love doing these programs. That is why I always ask for the help of the Spirit before I start the show, because I don't want to do this on my own. I want to make sure I deliver His message. And I think that's a message we all need to take seriously today. Let's look for the miracle. Let's be open to it, even if it seems to be really ordinary. I'll take an ordinary miracle. You know, that's what faith is. Faith is not always having to need the razzle-dazzle in order to follow the Lord. If you pray for a healing and you go to the doctor and you get medicine and you feel better, you're going to credit the doctor? You're going to credit the medicine? Or do you want to credit God working through the doctor and using the medicine? You know, just something to think about. Hey, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And please visit followingthetruth.com for more information. And also you can order Give Up Worry for Good, or possibly find out how to bring me to speak at your parish or conference. Things are opening up now, and I'm booking for the remainder of 2021. So please consider that, followingthetruth.com. If you would also be willing to become a monthly sponsor of my ministry or make a one-time donation, you can do that at followingthetruth.com as well. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on the program. I hope you'll be able to join me. You know, it just wouldn't be the same if you weren't here. Just saying. I'd miss you. I really would. It's such a blessing to be able to do this show. Please keep me and my family in your prayers if you would. I would really appreciate that. And understand one thing. I pray for you every day, and I'm going to keep it up. And I believe that those prayers are having an effect. The Lord's working on you. He really is. Even if you don't see the miracles that you're hoping for, the ordinary miracles are taking place. Really, I'm serious. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.